Prem se goes to Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Radha Gadara, Shri Vasari Gaur Bhagda Vrinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Gunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Shri Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Shri Shri Namrita Dham Ki Jai, Shri Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Shri Shri Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Shri Shri Yoja Dham Ki Jai, Shri Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Tulasi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ganga Maya Ki Jai, Jamuna Maya Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi, Harinam Sankirtana ki jai, Shishi Brihat Mardanga ki jai, Transcendental Prashadam Distribution ki jai, Shishi Gornitai ki jai, Shishi Tram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Radhaman and Mohana ki jai, Shishi Nuhasna Puradama ki jai, Shambhavita Bhaktivinoda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Shigo Ranga. For the pleasure of their lordships, now concealed from our material eyes, Gornitai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Shri Radhamana Mohan, and for all the devotees, the book scores for yesterday, score for yesterday, Atmani Vedana Das, 37 big books and 54 medium books. Brihat Mardanga Ki Jai. And reading from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita by His Holiness Satsupakas Goswami. Chant Hare Krishna and fight. Srila Prabhupada said that if a man could not accept the simple logic that there must be God, then he was obstinate and not even sane. But these animals, he said, they are passing on as big scientists, philosophers, theologians, and so on and so forth. We have to stop them. Namam diskrino mudha prapadyante naradama. This is the qualification of the person who does not accept God. He is either duskritina naradama mudha or maya prakrita jnana. Maya prakrita jnana. Maya prakrita jnana means those who are highly educated but who have no knowledge. Asuram babim ashrita means that they do not believe that God exists. So as Krishna consciousness leaders, you have to chastise these rascals. Giriraj said, it is actually relishable to chastise them. Yes, Prabhupada laughed. It is a pleasure sport. As they spoke, Sri Achara Gopinath entered with the daily newspaper. What is the news? Prabhupada asked. What are all these rascals saying? Newspaper means all the statements of rascals. Gopinath said the headlines aloud. Honest plea to Congress Chief Minister. Minister Chief calls for assembly election. Again elections, said Prabhupada, as if elections will change their quality. Let them remain rascals and simply by election replace one rascal with another rascal. Let them remain rascal, but get votes. That is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Svabid Varahostra Karai Samstuta. Population is Shvavid Varahostra. Varahostra. They are giving vote, another big pashu animal. Yes, this is democracy. The votes are pashus or beasts, and the voters are pashus or beasts, and they are selecting another big pashu. This is going on. The rascals do not know that if instead of a tiger we select a lion, then what is the difference? Simply names. The tiger was president. Now the lion is president. And both of them are animals. Where is the man or the human being? This is going on. And because they are pashu, they say, oh, now there is lion. Now the tiger is driven away. Now there is lion. This is going on. Am I right? Question mark. Srila Prabhupada continues his sharp critical interest in his movement. Continue tomorrow. In Prabhupada's sharp criticism. He was talking about his little sojourn in Melbourne and how he was addressing some priests. And he said at one point they asked him, why is the religion in this country, in Australia, dwindling? Why is the Christian religion dwindling? What are we doing? And Prabhupada kind of laughingly said, I asked them, what are you not doing? And then he went on to say that they're doing everything, many sinful activities and so on. He said they didn't very much like my comments. Of course, Prabhupada could say such things and get away with them. It's not very appropriate for us to say such things, at least not all the time.
And of course, Prabhupada was trying to establish Krishna consciousness in the minds of his disciples. He didn't want them to get unnecessarily involved in newspapers and the currents of the world, so to speak. Once, when he was asked about the elections, he said, "We don't care who's in charge of the latrines." But at the same time, and we'll discuss this a little bit later this morning, we do have to have some concerns about some of these things. Okay, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translations and purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Dato Jayamudirayet Nastaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Utamashloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. We're reading from the 4th canto, 12th chapter, 19th text. I'll try to read without my glasses. Sa.
Sa.
Didarsha. Vimanagriyam.
Vimanagriyam.
Nabaso. Vatarad. Dhruva. Vibrajayat. Dasha, Disho, Rakapatim, Ivoditam, Sadadarshavimanagriyam, Sadadarshavimanagriyam,
Sadadarshavimanagriyam,
Nabasovataradruva, Nabasovataradruva, Rajaya dasha disho. Rajaya dasha disho. Rakapatimi voditam. Rakapatimi voditam. Sadada shabimana agrayam. Nabhaso vataradruva. Ibrajayad dasha disho. Raka potimi voditam. Sadarashavimanagriyam. Nabasovataradruva. Prabhupada. As soon as the symptoms of his liberation were manifest, he saw a very beautiful airplane coming down from the sky, as if the brilliant full moon were coming down, illuminating all the 10 directions responsibly. As soon as the symptoms of his liberation were manifest, he saw a very beautiful airplane coming down from the sky, as if the brilliant full moon were coming down, illuminating all the 10 directions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are different levels of acquired knowledge. Direct knowledge, knowledge received from authorities, transcendental knowledge, knowledge beyond the senses, and finally, spiritual knowledge. When one surpasses the stage of acquiring knowledge by the descending process, he is immediately situated on the transcendental platform. Dhruva Maharaj, being liberated from the material concept of life, was situated in transcendental knowledge, and could perceive the presence of a transcendental airplane, which was as brilliant as the full moonlight. This is not possible in the stages of direct or indirect perception of knowledge. Such knowledge is a special favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can, however, rise to this platform of knowledge by the gradual process of advancing in devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Om Agyanati Nirandasya Agyananjana Salakaya. Chak Surun Mritam Jena Tasmai Shri Guru Ve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutare Svayam Prakramayam Sati Svatam Dikam. Yesterday, or whenever the last verse was read, we were hearing about how Dhruva Maharaj became liberated from the material body. By the way, welcome to Rajavihari and family. I'm very happy to have you here again. Hopefully we'll see more of you during this summer. Dhruva Maharaj became liberated, and the metaphor used that by Prabhupada was that of a coconut, that eventually the inside of the coconut dries up and you can shake it around and hear it. This is a way of talking about detachment. One gradually becomes detached from the covering of the material body. He also explains how this is not an instantaneous process. That is, it takes time for some maturation to happen, and then gradually this inside of the coconut becomes detached and becomes free. So this is a form of detachment from the material body. It's not something that takes place very suddenly, but it's gradual. And then he talks about how one gets free not only from the covering of the material body, think I'm not the body, but to think I'm not also the mind, intelligence, and ego, which is the subtle body. And Prabhupada explains how that subtle body carries one from one stage of life to another, and ultimately even from, not ultimately, but from one body to another. And ultimately that all dissolves and becomes one in the spiritual body. So this is an explanation of how one person, Dhruva Maharaj, becomes completely freed from the concept of thinking he's the body. And then these amazing symptoms begin to develop, hair standing up on end. I remember when we first encountered that word, horripilation. It was very interesting because we had to go to the dictionary. Horripilation, the standing up of hairs of the body on end. Anyway, one of the symptoms of... Thank you. One of the symptoms of purity and devotion is this. That happens when one becomes detached from the body. So as Prabhupada points out, it's a gradual process, and there are different ways, he mentions, of acquiring knowledge. He says there's direct knowledge, sometimes we call that pratyaksha, or indirect knowledge, we hear from authorities. We accept that those things are true because they've been there and they've done that and they've studied the field. And then transcendental knowledge, knowledge of another dimension, knowledge of something we don't see, something we're not aware of, knowledge beyond the senses, that's also transcendental knowledge because we can't. It is knowledge about something which we don't perceive with our senses, with our five senses. And spiritual knowledge refers to knowledge of what exactly exists in that other dimension. What is the spiritual world? We hear the spiritual world is a place where everything is a song, every step is a dance, every word is a song, every step is a dance, all water is nectar. But these are very hard things for us to really understand or to explain to some persons. Of course, persons who want to know that there is another dimension in life, or that there is another place to go, that this material world isn't the best place to be, are very eager to hear about such things. I used to have a fantasy when I was young that I was in a kind of... I was the object of an experiment, that I was being put into this particular arena of life, and at some point, after seeing what my performance was like, those who put me in this place would recall me back to a more normal world where there wasn't so much suffering. It wasn't until I encountered Krishna consciousness that I saw that there was an actual truth in that. Otherwise, I thought it was just some sort of a, and my friends did too, crazy fantasy that I was having. Anyway, Prabhupada talks about these different types of knowledge. And sometimes, as he mentions, it's a gradual process. It's not sometimes that it's always a gradual process, but sometimes it appears to be that we attain liberation straight away or instantly, just by chanting, by becoming very enthusiastic. Or sometimes we feel some of these symptoms, although Prabhupada says we can't copy them, we can't imitate, we can't think because we're having tears in our eyes that we're a Rupa Maharaj or we're pure devotees, that we're Nitya Siddhas, because this can be, and usually is in our frame of reference, in our particular lives, a form of sentimentality. And Prabhupada decried that. He said that our religion without philosophy is fanaticism or sentimentality. So there are different ways to understand the Supreme Lord. So there were some nice quotes I recently looked at about what is a pure devotee. Sometimes this comes up as a question. Who is a pure devotee? And we learned there are different types of devotees. There are Kanistadikaris, there are Majjhimadikaris, there are Nuttamadikaris, Uttamadikaris, and that there are different stages. In the lower stage, sometimes it's even said that we can chant silently or quietly, but it's better if we chant a little more loudly, if we can engage our sense of hearing in the chanting. It's more advanced if we speak about Krishna consciousness, if we try to widen the circle of Krishna consciousness, if we become a Majjhima Adhikari instead of staying on the Kanista Adhikari platform. And eventually, the pure devotee, pure, Mahabhagavat, Uttama Adhikari, Paramhansa, sees everything and everyone to be part and parcel of Krishna, sees everything as perfect and makes no distinctions. But as Majjhima Adhikaris or preachers, we are to make such distinctions. We are to worship the Supreme Lord, make friends with his devotees, see the average people as innocent children, and avoid those who are openly envious. There's a nice verse about how we perceive the Supreme Lord in Yamaraja's instructions to his messengers. Yambai nagobir, manasusubir va. He says that as the different limbs of the body cannot see the eyes, the living entities cannot see the Supreme Lord, who is situated as the super soul in everyone's heart. And he says, not by the senses, not by the life air, by thoughts within the heart, or by the vibration of words, can the living entities ascertain the real situation of the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada comments that the super soul is acting at every moment, but the living entity cannot understand the form of activities of the super soul by manipulating his senses. The example of the eyes and the bodily limbs is very appropriate. If the limbs could see, they could walk forward without the help of the eyes, but that is impossible. Although one cannot see the super soul in one's heart through sensual activities, his direction is necessary. So ultimately, everything depends on us being given divine perception by the Supreme Lord to see, to perceive, to realize his existence. Even though we practice many different forms of acquiring knowledge, ultimately everything depends on the Supreme Lord. So these are some quotes about what Prabhupada said about pure devotees. And so there's two things going on. We can become very pure and liberated by certain things that happen, by chanting, by getting some realizations. But it's also a gradual process, one that we have to go through a system of different levels in order to reach purity or pure devotion. So here's some of the things Prabhupada said. This is from a morning walk in Mumbai on the 4th of January 1977. Must be the 1st of April 1977. Our system, parampara system, is that, for example, I am just a disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. I don't say that I am liberated. I am conditioned. But because I'm following the instructions of Bhakti Siddhanta, I'm liberated. This is the distinction between conditioned and liberated. When one is under the direction of a liberated person, the same thing, electricity. The copper is not electricity, but when it is charged with electricity, if it is touched, that is electricity. And similarly, this parampara system, the electricity is going. If you cut the parampara system, then there is no electricity. Therefore, it is stressed so much. Sakala neha mahata yoga nasta parantapa. In the course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore, the science as it is appears to be lost. The electricity is lost. And then from a lecture in Los Angeles, on the 25th of November, we have this quote. Yet, those who follow, they're also pure devotees because they're following my instruction. Just like a technician, he is expert, but somebody is assisting him. So the assistants, because they are following the instruction of the expert, therefore their work is also complete. So it is not necessarily that one has to become a pure devotee immediately. Just like we are following the instruction of our spiritual master. I don't claim that I am pure devotee or perfect, but my only qualification is that I am trying to follow the instruction of the perfect. Similarly, this is called disciplic succession. Just like here it is stated that Krishna is the original spiritual master and Arjuna is the original student. We follow Arjuna and Krishna, then we get perfect knowledge. We may not be 100% perfect, but as far as possible, if we follow the instruction as it is, that much perfect. In this way, one will get perfection. So one has to follow. The same example, try to understand that a perfect expert technologist or technician or mechanic is working, and somebody is working under his instruction. So this somebody, because he is strictly working under the instruction of the expert, he is also expert. He may not be 100% expert, but his work is expert. Is that clear? Because he is working under the expert. Do you follow? This is a little redundant, but interesting. So if you follow a pure devotee, you are also a pure devotee. It may not be one is 100% pure, because we are trying to raise ourselves from the conditional life. So if we strictly follow the pure devotee, then we are also pure. So far we do, that is pure. So pure devotee does not mean one has to become immediately 100% pure. But if he sticks to the principle that we'll follow a pure devotee, then his actions are, he is as good as pure devotee. And it is not, I am explaining in my own way, it is the explanation of Bhagavad, Mahajayena Gatasvapanta. We have to follow the footprints of pure devotees. So there were different occasions. Once in Irvine, California, Prabhupada was asked by a professor if he had attained perfection. And Prabhupada's answer was the effect that I may have not, but the point is I'm following my spiritual master and I'm not with any ulterior motive. I'm just following. And therefore, I'm delivering unadulterated the message. So you can consider me like that. So in that way, sometimes he was questioned about Lord Brahma, because we read about Lord Brahma had some lusty feelings occasionally. And sometimes he was in illusion or tried to fool Krishna. And yet he's the head of our Sampradaya. So again, Prabhupada explained that he had no other motivation, no other agenda than to advance Krishna consciousness and to follow strictly. So sometimes this occurs. On the other hand, one is advised to practice Krishna consciousness along the lines of sadhana bhakti and practice it very strictly, because we don't come under the category of nityasiddhas or kripanasiddhas, that we can get the mercy or that we're eternally liberated, but we practice sadhana. And sadhana means that we go through various stages of development. We begin with faith, shraddha, then we associate with devotees, sadhusanga, vajnakriya, and we gradually become elevated to do devotional practices. Then we gradually free ourselves from anarthas, anarthanivritti. We become steady, nishta. We become we become attached to Krishna. We become ruchi, enthusiastic, convinced. And then we attain to the higher levels of Krishna consciousness, or steadiness and perfection, or bhava and prema. So Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita because he considers it very important that we develop gradually. So I'm going to read from a lecture in which Prabhupada talks about these stages of development. There are 9 stages are very important to understand how we progress in sadhana bhakti and Krishna consciousness. This is a lecture he was delivering on the 5th canto, 5th chapter, 2nd verse in Hyderabad on the 13th of April, 1975. Similarly, in everyone's heart there is love for Krishna. By cultivation, that Krishna consciousness, that love becomes developed. In other words, he's saying here that love is not something that comes automatically. Love for Krishna, that is developed. There's a certain spontaneity in the sense that we are all mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhutana sanatana. We're all eternally part and parcel of Krishna. But because we're being constantly assaulted by the onslaught of the modes and of maya, it is very, very difficult to realize that we have love for Krishna. Therefore, it's formulated for us to develop that love step by step by step. It's not material. And when you develop that love for Krishna, then you will see Krishna 24 hours, he says. That is wanted. So, ado shraddha tatasado sangha tato narta nivriti syat tato nishta tato bhakti. Tato nishta tatashakti means, he says, this is ado shraddha. Just like you have come here in this Krishna consciousness meeting because you have got shraddha, faith. This is called shraddha. You have to increase shraddha. How? Ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha. Those who are Krishna's devotees, you have to associate with them. You cannot develop Krishna consciousness by associating with drunkards and others. No, that is not possible. You have to associate with Krishna bhakta. Ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha. Sadhu means... Sadhu means bhajate mama nanyabhat. Sadhu eva samantavya. I've already described the sadhu. If you want to love Krishna, then you have to associate with sadhu. Sadhu means Krishna bhakta. Ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha tato bhajana kriya. Associate with sadhu means you learn bhajana kriya. Just like many people come in our society, not in the beginning as a devotee, as a matter of inquisitiveness. Then gradually he wants to become initiated. He approaches, kindly initiate me, make me a disciple. Bhajana kriya. This is called bhajana kriya. And if you actually perform bhajana kriya, then anartha nivritti syat. All these unwanted things you have heard, you have become habituated. Mainly illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. That becomes finished. Anartha nivritti syat. No more attachment for these things. Then nishta, firm conviction. Then ruchi, taste. Then asakti, attachment. Then bhava. Oh, Krishna is so nice. Then prema. That requires, if you have developed your love for Krishna, then you will see Krishna 24 hours. And then I'll just quote from what Prabhupada wrote in his purport about this verse from the Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. This will bring one to the stage of trying to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by an elevated spiritual master, and under his instruction, the neophyte devotee begins the process by devotional service. By execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes free from material attachment, attains steadiness and self-realization, and acquires a taste for hearing about the absolute personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This matured in bhava, or preliminary stage of transcendental love of God. This taste leads one further forward to attachment for Krishna consciousness, which is matured in bhava, or the preliminary stage in transcendental love of God. Real love for God is called prema, the highest perfectional stage. In the prema stage, there is constant engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So by the slow process of devotional service under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, one can attain the highest stage, being freed from all attachment, from the fearfulness of one's individual spiritual personality, and from the frustrations that result in void philosophy. Then one can ultimately attain to the abode of the Supreme Lord. So there's a nice little book that one of our godbrothers, Dina Bandhu, assembled from Madhurya Kadambadi. It's called Madhurya Kadambadi, Kadambini. Kadambini means the cloud. It's a very hard word for me to say. Kadambini. It's like a rain cloud. And Madhurya means the sweet, the nectar. So it's a book based on this verse that Srila Vishvanath Chakravarti wrote. And it takes you through all these different stages, these nine stages, one by one, the cloud bank of nectar, explaining what they are and how one has to begin with faith and ultimately you get Krishna prema. This is the verse in Bhagavad Gita which talks about the transcendental stage in the 14th verse, 26th chapter. Amchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevite sagunan samatityaitam brahma bhuyaya kalpite. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So, sometimes, as Prabhupada commented, we are, as he refers to devotees, as pure devotees, even though we're not Uttama Adhikaris, but he referred to his devotees as pure devotees because they're following the instructions, the teachings, in the footsteps of a pure devotee. And so for all intents and purposes, they're acting on the platform pure devotion. And he gave a very nice example of electricity. The wire is electric. Everyone who touches the wire becomes a part of that electrical shock, or a technician working under another technician, even though just the worker, he's doing the same job. So he is to be considered the same as the person who is the mastermind behind everything. At the same time, to maintain that position long term, one has to come to the mature stage of devotional service and go through the stages that are required to reach that level so that one does not fall back down. So one can be temporarily liberated or temporarily a pure devotee, but it's not necessarily a permanent position. Therefore, it's recommended that one constantly chants, one constantly reads, one constantly worships the deities, one constantly tries to spread Krishna consciousness, one constantly associates with devotees, one lives in a place where there's lots of devotees, or a holy place like Vrindavan, Mathura, so that Krishna consciousness becomes a permanent, steady thing. Sometimes we're looking only after the short-term benefits, and we don't think, how am I going to be a devotee in a year, or 2, or 10, or 15, or 20, or how am I going to remember Krishna at the end of this life? So it's stated in the Bhagavad Gita that according to what we're meditating on or what we're thinking at the time of our death, that will determine our next existence. So it's often thought that, well, people think this, that when I get ready to die, I'll just meditate on Krishna. That Prabhupada said that it doesn't really work that way, because you may be very attached to something, and that thing that arises in your mind at the time of death is going to determine your next existence. So Krishna consciousness is not practiced constantly. One doesn't mature and come to the level of being able to see Krishna everywhere in all things at every time and every place and every person and everything, then it's very difficult, because one is tested at the time of death. So this level of purity, of pure devotion, is only a temporary thing until we come to the matured stage of devotional service. And as Yamaraj says, we can't actually understand. We can't comprehend the actual position of the Lord, even by the mind, or what to speak of by the senses, he says, or thoughts. We can't understand the Supreme Lord. By hearing, even, he says, by the vibration of words. And we take these things as very important. We keep hearing transcendental words and we think that we'll get realization. It really has to happen by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And how do we get that mercy? We get that mercy by his representatives. When they are very merciful to us, then we can begin to get the mercy of Krishna, and we can actually understand who Krishna is. So we have to take those kinds of instructions as very, very important, make them our guiding principles, because Krishna consciousness is not a short-term thing. We're looking at eternity, in fact, not just the next year or the next few years, but our future lifetimes. And Prabhupada was looking at the future of this whole planet, that one tries to liberate as many persons as possible at the same time. So it's a very tall order. We have to become pure devotees ourselves, and we have to try to bring as many along with us. We have to liberate as many. Just like Dhruva, he was refusing to go unless he could bring along his mother, refusing to go back to Godhead. Can you imagine refusing to go back to Godhead if someone says, I'll take you, you can go back to Godhead? No, wait, I want to bring all the conditioned souls. So that's a very, very difficult stage to attain to, very advanced stage. I'll read the verse again. Sadadarsha vimana griyam navaso vatara dhruva vibrajaya dasha disho rakapatim ivoditam. As soon as the symptoms of his liberation were manifest, he saw a very beautiful airplane coming down from the sky, as if the brilliant full moon were coming down, illuminating all the 10 directions. So, questions, comments? I finished on time.
Seems that has some relation to Anyabhilashita Srimati. Chaitanya Kamadhinanda. Even though we may not attain that stage, this is our conscious goal. And that's an devotional service, as opposed to so many other religious systems which have many material goals explicitly.
That distinction is made, that if one is free from speculation, free from the yoga process, free from wanting anything for oneself, but is involved in the process of pure Anya Vilasita Sanyoga, pure devotional service, then that person can be considered pure if involved in the process. An analogy might be that we have a certain number of people live in the temple, but then the Prabhupada used the phrase assistant preachers, preachers and assistant preachers, that the assistant preacher who's serving the central preacher is just as good as the preacher because the process is all the same. And because it's free from jnana and karma and it's aiming towards pure devotional service, then it can be considered pure, and we can put the word pure out in front of that person.
I was listening to a lecture the other day from, was talking about the bhakti is the property of the Paramahansas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a section on Prabhupada Maharaj. And so he's talking about the Paramahansas can give bhakti, not anyone else. And he said, if you follow Paramahansa, you may not be Paramahansa, but if you follow Paramahansa, then you're also successful.
Yeah, so Lakshmanan is making the point, for those of you who are hearing on the microphone, that if one follows the Paramahansa, even though one is not Paramahansa, because the bhakti is the property of the Paramahansas, they can be considered on the same level, or even Paramahansa on occasion, but are acting on the pure level of pure bhakti. Right? That's very good. Very good point. Padavihara, you want to say something?
I was just thinking of Prabhupada once told the devotee that they're asking this question to him. He said, well, if you're in front of the deities and just your mind is absorbed in the deities, then that is pure devotion. And then your mind starts saying, well, where's Prashad? Or just whatever. So he was kind of saying that you can go up and down many times in the course of the day.
So Vajrayana is making the point that when Prabhupada was asked this question, he said, when you're standing in front of the deities and you're thinking of nothing else, then you're on the pure platform. As soon as you start thinking, where is Prashadam, even though you're looking at the deities, then you're not on that pure platform any longer. And then throughout the day, according to your consciousness, you're sometimes in pure consciousness, sometimes not in pure consciousness. So a pure devotee is always seeing Shastra Chakshu. He's always seeing by inner vision that Krishna is there. And as Rupa Goswami said, that always remembering and never forgetting Krishna is the primal instruction above all the other regulatory principles. Just never, ever, not for one second, not be thinking of Krishna in the spiritual world. Anything else?
So if you're on the platform of pure consciousness for that moment, then why don't you experience Krishna Prema?
You do, but it's temporary. That's what Prabhupada was saying. The question was, if you experience Krishna Prema, why don't you attain it? Because experience it and attaining it are two different things. Attaining means you have it, it's yours forever. I mean, we're talking in that way. And you never forget, not for a second, Krishna or the spiritual world or the vision is never. Prabhupada uses a kind of material example of a man who's got a picture of his wife and children sitting on the desk. He never stops thinking about them. That's a bit of a crude example maybe, but the idea is that one becomes so infested with love of Krishna, one becomes so overcome that even while doing all the other things by inner vision, the meditation is always there. Never stops meditating on Krishna. So that's yes.
Sorry. Go ahead. Also, there's a difference between pure devotional service and Krishna
Can I explain?
Devotional service, in one sense, it's the avideya, and it's the process by which one attains the goal. So one can practice pure devotional service and not have sort of experience praying yet.
No, that's a good point.
It's the process by which one.
Yeah. So Vajrayana is explaining that the pure devotional service is the process to which one reaches the end, which is Krishna Prema. And the pure devotional service can be compared to Abhideya, the means to the end, or the practice to which one reaches the end. And Prayojana, or Prema, is the final end to be fixed in pure devotional service, to enjoy the fruits of devotional service to get to the final point. Anything else? Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Santara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.